Tonight on the Sword of the Spirit podcast, how to be a peculiar people, even on Christmas. The show starts next. Based on my voice and probably how I look, that I am under the weather. I am sick, and so as a result, this is not a live broadcast tonight. I recorded this a few hours ago before 9 p.m. Eastern time, so that way I can get a show taped and uploaded and head to bed much earlier than I usually do in an effort to get better. Thankfully, I didn't get sick on my vacation, but as soon as I got back, I must have caught something from where I was and am definitely under the weather tonight. As a result, you're going to hear a hoarse voice and for sure a nasally voice as well, as I'm very congested tonight and you'll have to bear with me through that. But that's not going to stop me from going on the air though. I definitely enjoy doing the podcast and I didn't want to miss another week, so I'm here regardless. But it's probably going to be a shorter show than usual because of my health right now. But I do appreciate you all tuning in. If you're in the chat room, thank you for participating. Tonight I'll be talking about how to celebrate Christmas unlike the world. The Bible tells us to be separate. The Bible tells us that if you're the friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. We are supposed to be the counterculture. We are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be sanctified from the world, unspotted from the world. The Bible tells us to transform our minds and not have a worldly mind, not adopt things that the world would adopt and believe things that the world would believe. Christians are supposed to be a peculiar people, which is exactly how they're described in 1 Peter chapter number 2. And the Bible tells us there in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And of course, James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." It's a stark warning there from the Bible when it comes to worldliness, and it certainly still applies even during the Christmas season as everyone is going out and getting gifts and preparing for Christmas Day, which is my favorite holiday of the year. There's a temptation, I'm sure, for Christians to backslide and celebrate Christmas in such a way that they're indistinguishable from the world. But that's not what we're supposed to do. I'll talk about how you can remain unspotted from the world even during Christmas and how to celebrate it the right way without the Santa Claus garbage coming up later on in the broadcast. But first of all, there's some news I need to go over involving President Donald Trump. Yes, Donald Trump recently signed an executive order that's worth mentioning here on the program because Trump continues to prove that he is, in fact, a Zionist and a Zionist shill, a big-time supporter of the nation of Israel, the false nation of Israel in the Middle East today, inhabited by Christ-rejecting Jews. And in fact, using that statement, Christ-rejecting Jews, in and of itself, it might get you in some hot water after Donald Trump's recent measures to try and crack down on, quote, anti-Semitism. Let me show you this article courtesy of CNN. And it says right here, Trump aims to crack down on anti-Semitism on college campuses using civil rights protection. So according to Donald Trump, this is one of his top priorities. And he signed an executive order, it says, on Wednesday to include discrimination against Jews as a violation of law in certain cases with an eye toward fighting anti-Semitism on college campuses. It's an order that would allow Trump to take further steps to combat anti-Israel sentiments and divestment movements on college campuses by requiring colleges and universities to treat those movements as discriminatory or risk losing their funding. So that's basically the direction that Trump is going down here, is removing free speech in a desperate effort to appease these Zionist evangelicals who believe the current fraud nation of Israel established by the UN, the Satanic New World Order, doesn't get any worse than that, that somehow Israel is God's chosen land and that the Jews are God's chosen people. And when you use words like anti-Semitism and, quote, hate speech and all the rest of it, those are arbitrary terms, as I've talked about on prior episodes of the podcast. And so I'm obviously concerned that this could lead to it being illegal for you to actually preach what the Bible says about the Jews. And of course, the Bible says, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he's Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. And that's what the Jews do, of course. The Bible describes the false religion of Judaism as the synagogue of Satan. But that could be illegal to use that sort of verbiage to describe Judaism, the false religion of Judaism that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. Under these anti-free speech measures, we see that it's not just the left that hates free speech. It's also Trump when it comes to, quote, anti-Semitism. And look at this right here. The State Department cites the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, which defines anti-Semitism as a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. Now again, you know, people will accuse me of hating Jews. I don't hate Jews. I'd love it if Jews would get saved. In fact, I think that would be great. But here's the thing. I know for a fact that preaching against the false religion of Judaism will be misconstrued as a certain type of hatred toward Jews. It's going to be repackaged as a hatred toward Jews, which is why executive orders like this are so dangerous. But it's not just the Jews who are being protected. It's obviously the nation of Israel itself and political Zionism. This is courtesy of PBS. And notice what it says here. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Wednesday targeting what his administration describes as a growing problem with an anti-Semitic harassment on college campuses. Trump has sought to closely align himself with Israel, a move that appeals to many evangelical voters too. He said Wednesday that the order sends a message to universities. If you want to accept the tremendous amount of federal dollars that you get every year, you must reject anti-Semitism. It's very simple. Now, what this opens the door for is persecution against those who criticize the nation of Israel politically. If you criticize political Zionism, for example, that is going to lead to you potentially getting, you know, persecuted here, facing the wrath of the U.S. government and Donald Trump as a result, because Trump trying so desperately to appease those mindless evangelicals who prop up the nation of Israel, and it's pretty obvious at this stage of the game that, you know, he's doing everything he can to try and serve Zionist masters. And it really boggles my mind that people who would otherwise be, quote, red-pilled about the globalist agenda would still support, unequivocally, Trump. I'm not saying that there haven't been certain things Trump has done that I would agree with or like. For example, pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Paris Climate Agreement. Those are fine. And certainly negotiating a peace deal with the North Koreans. But then he turns around and serves his Zionist puppet masters and totally breaks his promise to drain the swamp by filling his cabinet with the exact same swamp creatures he promised to kick out of Washington, D.C. Therefore, we cannot trust in Donald Trump to save America. It's never going to happen Because Donald Trump serves Jewish interests. Donald Trump is a Zionist. You cannot rely on any politician, let alone Trump, to save America. You have to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 118, the Bible says in verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation." God, Jesus Christ, is our salvation. And that's not just spiritual, it's physical. Jesus Christ is the only one that could save you spiritually. And make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ is also the only one who could save physically the United States of America from the road to hell that it's on right now. The Bible also says earlier in the same chapter, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And it's better to trust in the Lord, verse 9, than to put confidence in princes. It is better to trust in the Lord than it is to put confidence in princes, in leadership, in political leadership. You cannot put your confidence in that. And if you are, you're going to be disappointed tremendously. Well, with that out of the way, just a few news articles there on what's going on with Trump and his administration continuing to bow down to the Zionists. I wanted to get to my main event topic for the evening on this shortened edition of the show. As you can tell, I'm definitely under the weather tonight, trying to get over a common cold, which thankfully really ramped up after my vacation. Before getting into the main event topic about how to celebrate Christmas as a peculiar Christian, I want to say, first of all, thank you to all of you who subscribed to my YouTube channel, Ben the Baptist. And if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure you do so. Just head over to youtube.com/BenTheBaptist, or you can hit the big red subscribe button on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. If you're listening to this program on a desktop computer or laptop, just hit the subscribe button there and you can get alerted whenever I upload a new video. Currently working on the censored documentary, The War on Free Speech. And so, as a result, some less content lately, but things will be back to normal soon as I finish up that project and edit it and get it ready, as Peter Reddick will be taking the reins from there and putting the finishing touches. How to celebrate Christmas as a peculiar person, a peculiar people during the holidays. It's so important for us to eschew worldliness and to reject worldliness, even during a time of the year in which it can be easy to slip into that. And you might be asking the question, well, how? How could it be easy to slip into worldliness and backslide during a time that is supposed to be dedicated to celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's because of a counterfeit. A counterfeit of Christmas. You see, the devil counterfeits. And folks, there's no doubt in my mind he has counterfeited Christmas through Santa Claus and through the obsession over covetousness and materialism and gifts that, of course, is prevalent this time of year. I'm going to talk about three main points tonight about Christmas and how you should celebrate it and things that you should avoid. First of all, I guess you could say point number one is covetousness. Don't be covetous. If you want to celebrate Christmas, you have to avoid covetousness. You have to avoid the covetousness that permeates worldly people during this time of year who celebrate Christmas not to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but instead who celebrate Christmas so that they can get a whole bunch of riches, so that they can satisfy the fleshly need for covetousness. And the Bible warns against covetousness. It says in Psalm 119, verse 36, "Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness." Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking there in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, explaining that we ought to beware of covetousness, because your life is not defined by the stuff that you own. In fact, it's defined by how you serve God. It's defined by your spiritual life. It's defined by your Christian life. And if you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ with your life, you're wasting your life. There's no reason for you to even be on the planet anymore. And in fact, this is the very reason why I believe God will take a backslidden Christian home early after some point, because they're just not useful. And of course, being given over to covetousness will lead to you not being useful whatsoever. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And so therefore, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be obsessed with materialism, and especially during a time that's supposed to be devoted to celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, devoted to celebrating Jesus, the birth of Christ, our Savior, by which we are saved if we've placed our faith on Christ. Certainly, if you've placed your faith on Christ, you have eternal life. There's nothing you could ever do to lose your salvation. All that is dependent on what he did for you at Calvary. That is reason enough to be content with your life. That is reason enough for you to eschew covetousness. Because what more do you need when the empty hole in your life has been filled by Jesus? Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, the Bible says. Be content with what you have. You don't need the fancy new car. I'm telling you right now, folks, you don't need any of that. All you need is Jesus. All you need are his blessings. You know, a lot of folks out there who have riches, not that riches are inherently bad, but people who trust in those riches or people who glory in those riches, they live empty lives. Now, why do you think that is? Because when you avoid the spiritual things, you're going to be seeking to fill that void in your life for the rest of your life, and you'll never be able to fill it. Here's a story about someone who was totally given over to covetousness, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving of his hands that which he had bought, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said, he's lying. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the men turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and maidservants and manservants? And men servants, I should say. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he sent out from his presence a leper as white as snow. So here's what's going on here. Naaman, healed of his leprosy, he wanted to bless Elisha in response. Elisha refuses those gifts. It wasn't a time to receive gifts. But his servant Gehazi, he saw an opportunity to attain just a few more materialistic items. And so he runs after him and lies and said, no, I'd like to have those. Let me take it. And so he takes the blessings that he wasn't supposed to, and he comes back and he lies to Elisha. It says, I didn't go anywhere. And of course, Elisha knows exactly what he did behind his back. And so it's the leprosy of Naaman the Syrian that ended up cleaving unto Gehazi and his seed forever. You say, how does this apply to Christmas? How does this apply to the saved Christian? Well, we see that there's a very severe consequence in a physical sense for someone who is covetous. And it doesn't end here. You have Achan, who took of the accursed thing and died as a result after Jericho was overtaken by the children of Israel. We see examples of this throughout Scripture, how covetousness, whether it's a covetousness for a position of authority that perhaps an individual is not qualified to attain, or in this case, covetousness when it comes to materialism. At the end of the day, it always leads to the downfall of the individual who's given over to covetousness. And there's no doubt that when it comes to Christmas, if all you care about is what you receive under the Christmas tree, if all you care about are gifts, make no mistake about it, at the end of the day, it's going to ruin your Christmas because you're going to be disappointed when you don't get what you want. And it's going to ruin your Christmas, and not to mention, it's a wicked attitude. It's a stupid attitude. It's an unfulfilling attitude. It's an immature attitude that has no place in a Christian home. So beware of covetousness, like Jesus said, and this holiday season, you should have nothing to do with covetousness because you know what? Christmas isn't about what you get. It's about serving God. It's about celebrating the birth of Christ. Second point I want to talk about, just 3 points on this podcast. Don't teach your children about Santa because Santa Claus is a satanic lie. And by the way, Santa Claus teaches a total works salvation. Here is Pastor Roger Jimenez with more.
Hi, this is Pastor Roger Jimenez from Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento, California. Today I'm making a video to answer the question, should Christian parents teach their kids about Santa Claus? I understand that a lot of people may look at this video and say, well, that's kind of silly. What's the big deal about Santa Claus? But in this video, I'd like to give you 3 reasons why Christian parents should not teach their kids about Santa Claus. Reason number 1 is because it's a flat out lie. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 says this, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's the 9th of the 10 commandments. And the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to lie to people or bear a false witness. And teaching your kids about Santa Claus is just a flat out lie. It's not true. So that should be reason enough to not teach your kids about Santa Claus. But the second reason to not teach your kids about Santa Claus is because it gives the attributes of God to someone else. The famous song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, says this, he sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. And you may have never stopped to think about it, but that's giving the attributes of omniscience and omnipresence that belong to God to someone else. There's only one person who sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake. They know if you've been bad or good, and that's God, not Santa Claus. The third reason to not teach your kids about Santa Claus is because it teaches them that their gifts come from someone other than God. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible teaches here that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. All of our gifts, all of our blessings come from God the Father, not from Santa Claus. So I would encourage you this Christmas season to teach your kids that all the blessings and the gifts that they receive this year come from God and not from Santa Claus. If you like these videos, we want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you have an idea of a video that we could make, maybe a question we can answer for you or something going on in current events, we'd love for you to leave that suggestion in the comments below. I hope that was helpful. Thanks for watching.
I think he put it better than I ever could there. Santa Claus, they brand him as like this omniscient, fantastical character who sees you when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake. It's a false god. And people teach this to their kids. Wicked as hell. Santa is satanic. That's why you can rearrange the letters. And what does it spell? Satan. And by the way, how's this? You say, oh, I'm not so sure, Brother Ben. You're being a little bit over the top. Okay. Well, if you're watching the YouTube version of the podcast, you see this Merriam-Webster's dictionary page on your screen right now. What does it say? Old Nick, a noun. Here's the definition. Used as a name of the devil. That's what you want to teach your kids. That's what worldly Christmas is all about. See, there's two versions of Christmas. One is about Jesus. The other one is about the devil. Old Nick, which is what people call Santa Claus, is used as a name of the devil. Because the devil is using this stupid character to try and turn people away from serving Christ, from talking about Christ, from exalting Christ, which is supposed to be what Christmas is all about. The Savior of this world, the Savior of humanity, who died for the sins of every man. But instead, every time you go to the mall, every time you go anywhere, what do you see? A fat, pedophile-looking creep with a long white beard. Ho, ho, ho. Stupid. You know, go take your reindeer and go straight to hell. How about that? If Santa Claus was real, he'd split hell wide open. Santa Claus teaches a work salvation. Santa Claus says that you have to earn gifts. You know why it's so difficult these days to go out soul winning? And you try and explain to people the free gift of salvation. The free gift of salvation. What are they going to say? Oh, well, I still think I need to turn over a new leaf. I still think I need to repent of all my sins. Why? Because they've been ingrained with this indoctrination that says gifts aren't free. Well, that's not what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 5, we get a definition of gifts. The Bible tells us. Let me find it here. The Bible tells us. Let me type it into my Bible software. In Romans chapter 5, it says in verse number 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. So if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus, hath abounded unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The Bible also says, of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Free gift. You don't have to pay for a gift. You don't have to earn a gift, or else it would be a prize. It wouldn't be a gift. It would be a reward. It wouldn't be a gift. Salvation's not a reward. Salvation is a gift. But the reason why so many people are confused about this topic, and you'll notice it when you go out door knocking preaching the gospel of Christ, is because of concepts that have been promoted in popular culture, namely this Santa Claus false god who goes around telling people, you know, that if the kids are good, they'll earn a gift. And if they're not good, they'll get coal. Wicked garbage. False gospel. Lies. And it's this concept that's been confused and muddied now because parents erroneously teach their kids that if they're good, they'll get gifts for Christmas. So then when a soul winner knocks on their door trying to get them saved, they're even more confused than they would have been because they've been indoctrinated with this concept. Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, you should stay far away from Satan Claus. You should stay far away from anything that has to do with Satan Claus. You should stay far away with anything that has to do with reindeers and elf on the shelf, that faggoty looking toy that people put on their shelf. And this culture that surrounds Christmas that is a counterfeit, that's trying to replace what's supposed to be a Christian holiday. You say, I want to be a peculiar person around the holidays. Well, then what are you doing with Santa Claus decorations outside your home. You're a Christian. Put up a Bible verse. My last point, emphasize Jesus on Christmas. If you really truly want to be a peculiar person on Christmas, how about you emphasize the Lord Jesus Christ? I know I've already talked about this, but these are the passages that should come to mind around this time of year. Luke 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Lying in a manger. That's what it's all about. Jesus Christ. It's about the birth of Christ. And we need to emphasize Jesus on Christmas. And here's how you do that. When you go to a Christmas gathering with your family, instead of talking about the NFL, instead of talking about the weather, instead of talking about Kim Kardashian and celebrity gossip and whatever other useless, vapid stupidity that worldly people talk about, how about you talk to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you do it in a loving and kind and compassionate way so that they're willing to listen to you, and perhaps you can get some family members saved over Christmas. You could show them the true significance of the birth of Christ and deprogram them from this social gospel that people believe in. This social gospel that says Jesus died so that we could all be nicer to each other and love our neighbor. People don't even know today why Jesus even died on the cross to begin with. It's sad because we're in the midst of the falling away. So people are deceived. They don't know why Jesus died. But use this as an occasion to talk about the Bible, to talk about Christ and exalt and emphasize Christ, not reindeer and Santa Claus and presents and all the rest of it. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice for henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That is an epic passage there, Isaiah 9, and of course verses 6 and 7 are so powerful, talking about the infinite power and authority of Jesus Christ. And of course, one day he will sit on his throne as king during the millennium. But share some Bible verses like this with your family. Emphasize Jesus. Talk about salvation. Talk about how the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Talk about the gospel. Talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. Talk about salvation by faith. Talk about eternal security. Emphasize the things of God, the doctrines that you find in the King James Bible articulated so clearly. Help people to remove the scales. Help you need to help people understand what the Bible says so you can remove those scales from their eyes so that God can enlighten them through the power of the Holy Ghost that'll draw them. But of course, it's their free will. It's their choice to get saved or not. And there are family members who certainly are very stubborn, who will not get saved, no matter how hard you try. But at the end of the day, we should still try so that the blood is off our hands. But those are the things we should emphasize on Christmas. We should avoid covetousness. We should avoid Santa Claus. We should avoid, Black Friday's gone now, but certainly avoid those Black Friday sales, people trampling over each other for a half-price toaster. And instead emphasize Jesus. Talk about Christ. Talk about the Bible over your Christmas holiday. Certainly if you have unsaved friends and family members who've invited you over for Christmas dinner. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for gifts. Obviously, gifts are wonderful, and I'm all for gifts. But at the end of the day, those gifts are a picture of the only gift that really, truly matters, which is the gift of everlasting life that, if you've believed on Christ, you have right now. And you can never lose. And so we need to emphasize that with our families. Here's a gift. It didn't come from Santa, the devil. It came from God, everlasting life. And also the gifts that you put under the Christmas tree. Kids, they didn't come from a fat guy with a big beard. They came from your hard-working parents who bought those gifts for you because they love you. It's that simple. All right, that's it for the show tonight. How to celebrate Christmas as a peculiar, separated, sanctified Christian. Hopefully that was a blessing for you guys. I apologize. I hope you were able to listen to this entire show despite me sounding really, really bad. I am definitely under the weather. But you guys bared with me if you made it to the end, and I appreciate that. But that's going to do it for the show. I'll be back next Monday at 9 Eastern, and it'll be live, unless I'm still sick or something like that. But the plan, Lord willing, is to be live again next week with what should be a great show with some special guests. But that's it for now. And until next time, God bless you all. Merry Christmas to all of you out there. Remember to celebrate Christmas the way a separated, sanctified, Bible-believing Christian is supposed to celebrate this wonderful holiday. Let's exalt Jesus and not worldly tenets promoted by people who don't know the Lord. I'll talk to you guys again after a while.